I'm going to do something I have never done before. I'm going to deliver a series of homilies for the next 8 Sundays to address important issues before the general presidential election on November 3rd. The fastest way to lose friends and to make enemies is to talk politics from the pulpit. I'm about to talk about religion and politics in polite company, but you might not feel very polite after you hear what I have to say. Of course, I'm not going to talk about partisan politics, advocating one party over another, but rather present the high ideal of politics, once beautifully described as the art of the possible. That is, people working together and even compromising at times in order to promote the common good and thereby achieve a higher common happiness. Since I'm a Catholic priest and I'm speaking to a Catholic congregation, I will present these important issues in the light of the Catholic faith. For instance, when our Catholic faith shines on issues of abortion, marriage, racism, immigration, etc., how do we see them differently? I would suggest to you that we see these issues as they really are, because it is the light of Christ that illuminates them and reveals what is true and false in them. The Second Vatican Council taught only in the mystery of the incarnate Word does the mystery of man take on light. Christ fully reveals man to man himself and makes his supreme calling clear. Just like we see everything most clearly when we bring it out under the light of the noonday sun, so Jesus, the Son of God, illuminates what is obscure and opaque in social, moral, and political issues. I'm going to rely heavily, but not exclusively, on the United States Bishop's statement on political responsibility called Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. It was originally published in November 2015, prior to the last election, and republished with a new introductory letter in November of 2019, prior to this election. Here are the 8 topics I will present, and on which weekends, so you can plan accordingly. Today, September 6th, I will address abortion and the pro-life issue, which seems the most fundamental of all issues. On September 13th, I will touch on racism that is riveting our country and the ripple effect it causes. On September 20th, I intend to broach the topic of marriage and family with special attention to care for persons in the LGBTQ community. On September 27th, I hope to address immigration and welcoming the stranger, especially the beautiful people from India. On October 4th, I will discuss the environment and living on this planet, our common home, as Pope Francis so often says. And how providential that October 4th is the feast of St. Francis, who called the sun his brother and the moon his sister. That is how close we should feel to creation. On October 11th, I will try to deal with the basic right to health care, because we really cannot live without it, pun intended. On October 18th, I will address global solidarity and our need to participate in the destiny of the world rather than sit on the sidelines as spectators watching the world go by. Jesus warned, "To whom much is given, much will be required." And we Americans have been given a lot. Last but not least, on October 25th, I would like to share what the bishops have to say about religious liberty and Catholic education, especially how valuable our Catholic schools are. I strongly recommend you read the bishop's entire document on faithful citizenship. But here are a few points that they made regarding abortion and the pro-life issue. They wrote in the introductory letter that was new this: "The threat of abortion remains our preeminent priority because it directly attacks life itself, because it takes place in the sanctuary of the family, and because of the number of lives it has destroyed." A little later, the bishops emphasized why this issue is so preeminent, why it stands head and shoulders above other issues. They said, "The direct and intentional destruction of human life, innocent human life, from the moment of conception until natural death is always wrong and is not just one issue among many. It must always be opposed." In other words, the right to life is not equal to other issues. Rather, it is the bedrock and the foundation of a just society. If you are dead, what good are the other rights you have? However, the bishops were careful not to conclude that you must always support a politician or policy who adopts an all-or-nothing attitude regarding abortion. Sometimes incremental change, little by little, is more successful. The bishops quote St. John Paul II's prudential advice, saying, "When a government official who fully supports abortion cannot succeed in completely overturning a pro-abortion law, he or she may work to improve protection for unborn life, limiting the harm done by such a law and lessening its negative impact as much as possible." Thus, the bishops concluded, such incremental improvements in the law are acceptable as steps toward the full restoration of justice. That is, sometimes you have to take baby steps in order to help babies take their first steps. The bishops also expanded their pro-life stance to go beyond abortion alone. They insist cloning, the destruction of human embryos, is always wrong. The purposeful taking of human life by assisted suicide and euthanasia is not an act of mercy, but an unjustifiable assault on human life. Genocide, torture, and the direct and intentional targeting of non-combatants in war or terrorist attacks are always wrong. When we intentionally take an innocent life, we try to step into God's shoes and decide who lives and who dies. And whenever we have played God in the past, disaster has struck. Lest the bishops be accused of callously forgetting the desperate mothers who sadly choose abortion, they also added, "We promote a culture of life by supporting laws and programs that encourage childbirth and adoption over abortion, and by addressing poverty, providing health care, and offering other assistance to pregnant women, children, and families." You know, when I was in high school, I volunteered at Abba House in Little Rock, a home for unwed mothers run by Mother Teresa's nuns. We tutored the children after school and helped with chores around Abba House. In other words, we build a life, a culture of life, not only by voting for pro-life candidates, but also by helping those around us to choose life. And if for some serious reason we cannot do the first, then we must do the second. If you are waiting for this homily to tell you who to vote for, I'm happy to disappoint you. The purpose of this homily, taking a page from the U.S. bishops, is to shape and form your conscience so you decide better, who to vote for. But don't decide who to vote for just yet. There are 7 more homilies you have to hear. I know that it is not easy to discern and to read and to pray and to ponder before making your decision. It's a lot easier to let someone else do our thinking for us and tell us who to vote for. We want someone to make the election easy, but they're not. If you think this election is a no-brainer, you're probably not using your brain. Henry Ford famously said, "Thinking is hard work. That is why so few people do it." It wasn't easy for Jesus to carry his cross. In fact, he debated it in the Garden of Gethsemane. It should not be easy for us to carry ours. If voting in November doesn't feel hard, like carrying your cross, then you're probably not doing it right. Praise to be Jesus Christ.